Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast. Here we explore spiritual insights and practical strategies to help you cultivate a family life rooted in beautiful, self-giving love. Join us as we invite experts to share uplifting perspectives and actionable advice for navigating the joys and challenges of modern family dynamics. Welcome back to the show. On today's podcast, we're taking a look back at previous guests and their answer to the question, how has Mary been a mother to you? Please be sure to check out the full podcast linked in the show notes. Enjoy.
You know, I think for me, I must admit, I had a very ambiguous relationship with Mary. I grew up in the South, and the South was this really sort of space where, like, I was trying not to be too Catholic, or I was trying to be Catholic in the right ways, and Mary felt like a bridge too far. And it was kind of actually at Notre Dame, which I have to remind people is named after the Blessed Mother instead of after a football team, that I kind of came to recognize who Mary was. She is mother. She's the mother of all disciples. She's the disciple of all disciples. And I think what she's done for me is help me to see the absolute tender love involved in Christian discipleship. And that it's a tender love that's not weak, but that actually possesses an extraordinary strength. I like to use the phrase that Pope Francis did of a revolution of tenderness. That's what the Mother of God enacted when she said, "Let it be done to me according to thy word, and bore in her son in flesh Christ and held him in a crib and raised him and stood with him upon the cross and was in that upper room on the Feast of Pentecost when the Spirit descended. And so she has been a mother in that sense, is that she's pointed to me the revolution of tenderness, and that ecclesial renewal and reform is based not therefore in bureaucracy or power or prestige, but in that revolution of tenderness. And if we forget that, then it just becomes committee meetings and documents and a bunch of bureaucracy that nobody in our age really wants to attend to.
Yeah, Mary Grace, that's a beautiful question. Our community, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, we make our consecration to Jesus through Mary according to the St. Louis de Montfort consecration. So that spirituality and that way of giving my life and living my life has been part of me for a long time. And really to give everything into the hands of Mary. And doesn't she just help us surrender, right? When we, like, I know that my whole life, every good deed that I do is in her hands, and she's going to do with it the most perfect thing, right? That she, even more perfect than I could make it, and present it to her son as a gift, right? And that's how we can kind of, I think one of the most important aspects of gratitude is not only to, like, accept the gift that we've been given, but it's to return our life as a gift. And Mary does that perfectly, right? She returns her, like, she's perfect, right? She was immaculately conceived. She has no sin. She said yes to God. There was nothing barring her and her father. And is that's what we want our lives to be, right? Is this perfect yes to the Father. And Mary's the one who can do that with us and for us, right? So surrendering our lives into her hands and allowing her to make it something beautiful for God. And then that makes our whole life a gratitude, our whole life a thanksgiving. You know, you think of the Mass, the word Eucharist means thanksgiving, right? And we're called in the Eucharist, not just to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, but as an offertory to lay our lives on the altar with that bread and that wine, to allow it to become this gift, to allow it to become Christ, to unite ourselves totally to him. And so Mary does that perfectly. So I would say that consecration of giving my whole life to Jesus through the hands of Mary, that I know that she's going to make it beautiful. And then the pressure's off me, right? Like, I can surrender like a child and give my best gift that I can to God through her, and know that she's going to make it even more beautiful than I could.
I think for me, like, Mary's been a mother to me in the sense of I have not lived with my own mother in many, many, many years now. Mm-hmm. And so I often just call her Mama Mary. And so, like, I'll be out walking and I'll see a statue and I'll be like, oh, Mama Mary. And I'll ask her something, right? Or something like that. And I actually started calling her like Mama Mary and thinking of her in that way when a former student of mine years ago who was not Catholic, but who was attending the Catholic religion classes that I was teaching, told me this story. And she, her dad and her two younger brothers were away for the weekend and their mom had stayed behind for some reason. Mm-hmm. And something happened and her dad got like violently ill in the middle of the night. And she was the oldest. She was probably 17 or so at the time. She was the oldest and the only girl. And so she was like, oh my gosh, like I have to take care of him. And like couldn't figure out what to do. And he was just like, just in very severe pain. I forget now if he had like a kidney stone or something, but like severe, significant pain, right? And she just kept, at first when she was trying to figure it out, she just kept thinking, I need my mom. Like I need my mom will know what to do. But she couldn't get a hold of her mom. And so she was like, okay, but I know I have a mom. And so she just knelt down and prayed to Our Lady. And was like, I need a mom right now. Like, I need my mommy. Like, please help. And her dad got better. And then they went to the hospital and whatever, but like was good enough to be able to drive to the hospital and whatnot. But she was like, I just needed a mom in that moment. And like, I just needed my mama. And I was like, oh, I love that story. So after that, I just really started like when I would see images or see statues, especially like out walking or things like that, like just thinking of her as like my mama, because there are times when you just need your mama for something. Mm-hmm. So that's the answer for me.
Yes. I think that as I mean, I haven't gone through all the crazy things that we've been through. You know, we've mm-hmm. also had kids hospitalized on a couple different occasions for weeks at a time. We live in Altadena, California, which is the site of one of the big California wildfires. Our home survived, but 9 of the 12 homes in our neighborhood did not. We were displaced for 4 months, lived in an Airbnb in a different part of town. And any time that I would want to feel sorry for myself throughout any of those things, mm-hmm. I think of Our Lady, and I think of how she was favored by God and that didn't save her from mm-hmm. challenges and from sorrow. And I think of her, especially through my husband's illness and death, I think of the Stabat Mater, the standing mother, mm-hmm. and how she stood at the cross. And there's such a beautiful strength there. And we don't think of her, you know, we don't think of her as a pushy lady or, you know, but she has this quiet strength. And mm-hmm. I always prayed to, and I still do, you know, to be like that, to face challenges like that. Mm-hmm. Standing, able to support the people around me, able to, you know, turn to God and turn towards the people that I love, mm-hmm. rather than away from them. And yeah, I can't think of any example, better than Mary for that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ferris Love Podcast. In 2025, we are continuing to share the beautiful devotion to Mary, Mother of Ferris Love, while providing practical tools and advice for parents, couples, and families. You can help us with this mission by sharing this episode with a friend, subscribing to the podcast, or leaving a review. To learn more, visit us at ferrislovefamilyproject.org.